New to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is your place for honest answers.
Naturally Savvy.
With registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky.
And health journalist
Lisa Davis.
I'm Lisa Davis with Andrea Donsky. So many of us have struggled to lose weight and there are so many diets out there. It can be overwhelming. And one of the things that I've often thought about is, what about what's going on in your brain? What about habits? What about the addictive nature of foods? What about trying different ways that actually get into your thought process? So I was thrilled when I got the book by Eliza Kingsford, Brain Powered Weight Loss, the 11-step behavior-based plan that ends overeating and leads to dropping unwanted pounds for good. Eliza, welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on. I love in the book where you write why I wrote this book. You basically say that they're short-lived. And you write, the missing link called human behavior, our old habits and the relationship with our food choices, is a downfall of even the very best diets. That is so true. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself and a little bit more about why you wrote the book, and then expand on what I had just brought up. I think it's so important.
I'm glad you liked that piece. It was really important to me to explain why I wrote the book, because you're right. You said it earlier. There are so many diets. There's so much information. And, you know, when you talk to one person, they've heard one thing, and you talk to someone else and they've heard something completely different. And then you think, well, what am I supposed to do with all this information? How do I know what's right for me? And essentially my background, I started first with traditional eating disorders and then moved over into working with folks who are struggling with weight management, obesity, and compulsive overeating. And what I found in working with this population that I love working with folks that are struggling to heal their relationship to food, as I like to call it. What I found is that what they end up feeling is like they're a failure, right? They've heard all of these, quote, yeah, diets to try this diet, try that diet. And if it doesn't work, then they end up feeling like they've failed. It's somehow their fault. And over and over again, I talk to people who end up engaging in the same patterns over time. And so there has to be more to this whole weight maintenance thing or weight management thing than just calories in, calories out, right? Or the diet that you're choosing to eat. There's something more to it. And as I started to explore the underlying patterns and the repeating patterns of behavior, it became very obvious that unless you start looking at what's underneath just the input and the output, right, the food and the exercise, what's underneath all of that, people fall into the same patterns of behavior over and over again. And until you start to peel back those layers and look at what's underneath, they're going to get into those same patterns of behavior, and they're not going to feel successful, and they continue to feel like a failure, right, if we're not examining those things. So that is where my interest really got peaked, and that started when I was running a program for adolescents and young adults using weight management techniques, and I saw these same patterns come up over and over again. And I really wanted to help those families and really address the long-term solutions to what they're dealing with.
Well, I think like anything, emotions play a huge component to it. So it's not just what we're exactly calories in, you know, exercise out. It's a matter of what are the emotions behind it that allow us to keep repeating those patterns over and over. So what are some of the things that you found, you know, in starting that camp and in working with these children?
Yeah. So one of the things that we look at all different parts of the participants' social emotional backgrounds. So we look at their, you know, some family history or school history, social history, things that will or things that have over time created a pattern or created a way of choosing foods or choosing behaviors that haven't been serving them. So and sometimes people think, well, gosh, are you putting people in traditional couch therapy where they lay down and have to tell you their whole life story? And it's not really like that. It's really having people take a moment to be mindful and really intentional about, okay, how did I get here? What are the barriers that I have seen that keep coming up and get in my way? And how can I break down those barriers and replace those with more successful behaviors for me? So to break that down even further, a quick example is, you know, we might have someone be mindful about, you know, every day after school or every day after work, I end up in front of my refrigerator and I'm suddenly eating a Diet Coke and a bag of pretzels. And I think that it's healthy for me because it's a Diet Coke, right? There's no calories in it. Yep. And it's a bag of pretzels, which is basically just air. But, you know, why is this, you know, why is this detrimental for me? And right. And we sort of chain that back. We pull that apart and say, okay, first of all, forget the Diet Coke and the pretzels for a second. Let's talk about how you got here, right? Is this habitual pattern? Are you bored? Is this in response to stress? Is it a combination of all three now that you've been doing it for a while, right? And we break down the actual pattern before we even get to what the food choice is. We break down the pattern. So it doesn't matter if it's a Diet Coke and pretzels, you'll switch it to, you know, a chocolate milk and peanut butter if you don't actually look at the pattern of behavior behind it. So we have them stop, be mindful, get clear about patterns, get clear about what is working and what's not working for them, look at the emotional layers underneath, and then you can start making changes in food and exercise, but we got to get back to under those layers, peel back those layers first underneath.
Yeah, I agree. You know, my daughter, she's 13. She tends to eat out of boredom. Andrea, I don't know. Do your kids do that? Where I know she's not hungry. But you know, she'll get bored and she'll just be like looking in the snack drawer. I'm like, hon, you need to keep eating. She's like, oh no, I can keep eating. I can keep eating. I'm like, well, you don't need to, but I'm not doing it in a negative way. She's thin as a rail and she eats mostly good foods, but I did that as a kid. And so I kind of get concerned. Mm-hmm. How do we talk to our kids about that? And also, how do we talk about kids who do have weight issues in a way that isn't going to make them feel shame or guilt and help them make changes, right, whether they're thin or not?
And what's the language we can use, right? I like what you're saying, Lisa. Like, what is the language? Can we use the word, you know, healthy versus being, you know, overweight? Like, what's the lingo that you're supposed to use so that you don't create issues for these children when they get older?
Exactly.
Yeah, man, that's such a touchy subject, right? It's going into such murky waters there. And I talk to families every day who have this exact conversation and say, I just want her to be healthy, or I just want him to be healthy, but it ends up making him feel like I think he's overweight or that I'm not happy with his or her weight, right? And that, I hear it in the parents' voice. They just want to help. They just want to be helpful because they're concerned, right? And we're told to be concerned about kids who are putting on weight, and rightfully so. I mean, kids who are overweight or obese as a child have a 200 to 400% chance of being obese or overweight as an adult. And, and that comes with a whole host of joint issues and medical issues and comorbidities. And anyway, so it's good for parents to be concerned. I think one of the best ways is to start early talking to your kids about being mindful and making mindful, healthy decisions. And what I mean by that is, for instance, even with my five-year-old, she will sometimes just, I can tell she's bored and she just wants to go for a snack. And so the opportunity is there to say, let's take a second. Are you hungry? What are you hungry for? Let's check in, right? Rather than making a quick decision about, I'm just opening up the cabinet and grabbing whatever is there, taking a minute to be mindful about food decisions and really connecting that feeling of hunger with desire for food, right? So if your kid's really hungry, they'll be hungry for an apple just as they'll be hungry for a Snickers bar, right? If they're really hungry, they can eat an apple or they can eat a Snickers bar. And if not, then it's because of some other, right, you know, I want that or it's desirable or there's some emotional attachment to it or whatever. So, right, so a craving, exactly. So taking the moment to be mindful, slow down, ask the right questions. Are you hungry? And then perhaps, you know, my little girl's five, but when your kids are a little bit older, there's different prompts. Perhaps my prompts then are, great, you're hungry. So here are some options for a snack. We have apples, we have a string cheese, we've got some almonds, we've got the right, and you go through the options of what I know are satiating and healthy snacks, right? So it's not going to help her to eat a handful of goldfish, because if she's really hungry, those goldfish are going to burn through her and she's going to be hungry again in 45 minutes. I know that a better option for her for satiety purposes is maybe an apple with some peanut butter or an almond butter or something like that. It's going to keep her full longer, the fiber, the fat. And so if she's really hungry, she can choose one of those options, right? I've given her maybe four or five, and decide what's good for her. If none of those options sound good to her, then she's probably really not that hungry, right?
Exactly. So that's kind of what I say to my daughter too. Yeah, I offer her stuff, and then I'll say, "Well, you must not. You only want that crappy, highly processed bar that you already had this morning." But I've only had one today. I'm like, "Yeah," and she's so funny. She'll like sneak stuff, and then she'll tell me later. She's like, "I actually had four of those," and I'm like, "Honey, what are you doing?" So it's so important. You know, I want to go back to that question though about kids who are overweight, because one of her friends has put on a lot of weight, and we're really concerned about her, like a lot of weight. And I can, and her people in her family are obese. And I'm worried that, you know, how people, kids are going to tease her. And then I don't want someone saying you're fat, and then she'll go home and everyone around her is fat, and maybe, and they keep feeding her all this processed crap. Like, how do you get out of that? I mean, one of my friends was like, "Oh, you should intervene." I'm like, who am I to be like, "Excuse me, but you know, I'm worried about your daughter and you're all overweight. I can't do that." But I'm worried about her.
Right. Yeah. And rightfully so. And the sad part is, I don't know how long we have today, but the sad part is, you know, society sets us up for this failure. Really, right? The food system and the marketing and the processed food that you're talking about. In order to be a healthy child and teenager, especially our kids, right? The inundation with all of the messages and even the types of food that they're exposed to, they are growing up thinking that processed food is food. Right? So they see fewer and fewer real whole foods. They think processed food is food. And so we're fighting this huge uphill battle of trying to, you know, teach them differently. It's like fighting City Hall to say nutrient-dense whole foods is what is going to be best for your body, maintaining body weight, you know, maintaining your moods, so many things, but we're fighting this food system. And so to be concerned is really valid, in my opinion. The hard part is, these foods, these processed foods are, as you probably know, are engineered and created for the sole purpose of kids wanting to eat more of them. You talked about the addictive nature of foods earlier. Right. And I don't necessarily need to throw around the word addiction, the addictive nature of it. This idea of once you start eating it, you will eat more of it. That is really real and very detrimental to our kids and their developing brains. So if you have a young child that you are concerned about, personally, I think there's a right to be concerned, because I already mentioned the likelihood that child will move into adulthood with obesity and overweight is significant, especially if there's a family system of overweight and obesity. But the question then becomes, well, what do you do about it? Well, especially so. For instance, at Empowered Wellness, at our programs, we detox from junk food and sugar. And I'm not talking we're eating root vegetables and grass all day long. I mean, we're eating real food, but it's a detox from junk food and sugar. I mean, and it's meant to be that way. Take them out of the food environment and the system that keeps feeding this processed food, and teach them what real nutrient-dense whole foods look like, can taste like, appropriate portions and quantities of it, and give them a real detox. And I hate to even say, okay, listen, that's what we do in our program. But sadly, sometimes that's the only chance kids get these days to get away from processed food and junk food is to actively remove themselves from an environment that's serving it daily, right?
I agree.
And I do think it takes a detox.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it does for adults too, right, Andrea? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. And one of my questions, or my next question was, is you teach, when these kids go back into their environments, you have a program for adults as well to teach them how to maybe keep some of these things that they learned over the summer to bring it back into their home throughout the school year.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, from the day that they step on campus with us until the day they leave, we really are focused on what home looks like, because, you know, you put anybody in a controlled environment, and control their food intake and exercise. And sure, they're going to drop some pounds and probably do well. But really, what's more important is what happens when they go home. So specifically for Empowered Wellness, we have workshops for the families that come in, and they can get inundated with what we've done. They get a mini immersion program with us. And then, of course, their kids have been learning various curriculums in the time that they're with us: clinical curriculums, culinary nutrition curriculums, body image resilience, a bunch of different modules and curriculums, all designed to make a program for them when they go home. But yes, you know, adult programs are sort of our next iteration. It's what's coming next at Empowered Wellness. But we see the parents of our kids are saying, I'm sending my kid, and this is so great, but I really want this program for myself. And to be honest with you, it is a family affair. I mean, what breaks my heart is sending a kiddo that I've had, you know, 4, 6, or 8 weeks now home to an environment where I know they are not set up to be successful. And it's not because the parents don't care. They cared enough to send them away for a program and be successful. They just don't know what to do themselves. And so that's coming. that will be next. But certainly the focus on, well, now how do we take what we know? How do we take all this armor that we've created, these new habits? It's the whole idea of teaching a man to fish, right? So if we just said, okay, don't eat this and do eat that and exercise this way, and then you'll be quote unquote successful, that doesn't work. What we've really done is taught each camper how to dissect their own relationship to food and have these skills and dealing skills and stress management skills and body image resilience skills that they can then flip back at any page or module in their book and say, ah, here's a way that I can try and deal with this situation that I'm facing and this issue that I'm facing. And it's a beautiful thing when they learn how to figure it out themselves, right?
Oh, definitely. You know, Eliza, I'm so impressed. I just want to go through these steps. So people should definitely check out your book. And this book is for adults as well. Step 1, cultivate a weight loss state of mind. Step 2, face your biological truth. I like that. Step 3, identify your thinking errors and food triggers. Step 4, find your wise mind through mindfulness. Step 5, learn your dealing skills, then use them. You know, and all people should get the book to read the rest. But I think it's so good because these are going to help in other areas too.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said that. actually really love that you said that. These are skills that are applicable for any adult in any phase. And any struggle in life, it just so happens that
definitely.
We are applying them to weight management skills, dealing skills, stress management skills, mindfulness skills, meditation skills. Those are good for any area of your life. And as you said, this is actually a book written for adults. It was sort of written for the parents of the adults in mind. But at our immersion programs, we take the kids through these step-by-step modules. And so they are getting a real head start on many adults I know in my life on learning how to use dealing skills and stress management skills. But yes, they are applicable to every area of life, and they just really are helpful in weight management.
So how would it work, Eliza, if somebody wants to get information, any of our listeners want to understand how the summer camp works? And are there kids that come from all over the world? Is it primarily in the United States? How does that work?
That part is so cool. I'm actually really proud of it. We've got kids coming from all over the world. We've got kids coming from the UK, from Russia, from Switzerland, from China, all over the world. And they come from all over the U.S. as well. And we are in Santa Barbara, California. This is our first location.
Oh, how nice.
The first location for Empowered Wellness specifically in Santa Barbara, but kids are coming from all over the U.S. and all over the world right now. EmpoweredWellness.com is our website, and we actually open our doors to the first group of kiddos on Sunday the 17th of June. So it's really exciting. Great. It's right around the corner.
Oh, hooray.
Now, do you have nutritionists that work? Like, how does it, like, just give us like a little bit of a snapshot of what it's like, you know, from the education component during the summer months?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a registered dietitian that works with us that has helped create our nutrition and culinary programs. All of the students go through a nutrition program, a culinary program, a body image resilience program, And then a clinical program.
Yeah.
And they will meet in small group sessions for all of those educational modules throughout the week. And we have therapists on staff, what are called behavioral coaches, that have a caseload of each student that helps walk them through all of these clinical modules that we have been talking about. We have nutritionists on staff. We have a registered dietitian, personal trainers, folks with master's in exercise physiology, and then a bunch of really fun camp staff. So, you know, above all else, it is a fun camp environment where they're also learning a lot of really, really in-depth educational material. So they have a bunch of educational classes each week, and then it's mixed in with camp and fun field trips and dine-out challenges and farmers market challenges and, you know, Iron Chef competitions and things like that so that we can make it the learning really fun and educational. And it's camp. So they, you know, they want to have a blast in Santa Barbara, California, which is not that hard to do.
Oh my gosh, I want to come. My brother went to UC Santa Barbara, so I know how awesome it is there back in the 80s. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Can I come?
Right? Yep. And you can. Adult camp is coming. Definitely stay tuned. Adult camp is coming. I can't tell you how many adults call and say, I want to come to adult camp. So that is happening. But yes, it is. It's this wonderful culmination of all these life lessons. I mean, yoga and meditation classes and time to be mindful and slow down and set affirmations and have a lot of mindfulness activities. I mean, these are the things that are changing our brains and souls and minds for the better. It just so happens we all get to be doing it together in this immersive environment.
That's so awesome. Well, when you do have adult camp, I would love to speak because, you know, it's really, and also like letting people understand, you know, like unjunking your junk food. It's just about, it's the whole mindset, right? And how genetics play a role. Anyways, I think it's awesome what you're doing. And we love speaking to you today. So thank you for being on our show, Eliza. And can you just give your website one more time?
Yep, you bet. It is www.empoweredwellness.com. It's the summer camp. And you can find me at ElizaKingsford.com.
That's amazing. Well, we want to thank NatureCare for sponsoring today's episode, because without NatureCare and companies that we love who are all about healthy living, and NatureCare is about empowering women and men and everyone around us to make more, you know, to make healthier choices about when it comes to their personal care products. So thank you, NatureCare. You can learn more about them and their personal care products at naturecare.com. Eliza, thank you for being on our show today. I'm Andrew Radonsky along with Lisa Davis, and you're listening to Naturally Savvy Radio. Like us on all social media at Naturally Savvy, at Andrew Radonsky, at Radio MD, and at Health Media Gal One. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay well.